Welcome to the Higher Ed Podcast, where we explore the latest developments and emerging trends in the world of higher education. Our podcast features in-depth discussions with the industry's leading experts, providing valuable insights and actionable advice for academic leaders and executives. From designing impactful universities and establishing strong brand identities for colleges, to delivering exceptional student services, we cover it all. Join us as we reimagine the future of higher education, one episode at a time.
Once again, we're back with another episode of the Higher Ed Podcast. I'm Kamar DeJarnett flying solo today. We have a real living legend, the legendary Nancy Rogers. Naros and I just was telling Nancy before we started the call how much we've heard of her and how much of a just really an inspiration she's been to us, even though this is our first time really meeting. I think she met Naros in the past, but we just heard so much about her, and it's really exciting to really have you. Nancy, could you just maybe give a little bit of your origin story? Don't have to give the novel, but how'd you become so successful? What got you into what you do?
Well, thank you so much for such a nice introduction, Kamar. I wanted to actually start with that. About 38 years ago, I started out as I finished college. I took a job as a receptionist and at a school. And I was a receptionist for maybe 2-3 months when I said, you know what? These people in admissions don't know what they're doing. They were setting appointments. They weren't showing. People came in. They weren't enrolling. So, you know, big mouth me, I went right to my boss and I said, hey, I want that job. It makes more money anyway, right? He goes, yeah. And he said, okay, you got the job, because he thought I would be good at it anyway. Right. So guess what happens? 1 month into the job, he had a real come to Jesus session with me and said, you know what, Nancy, you're not making it happen. What's going on? And actually what happened is I thought if I just showed people that I cared and that what they were doing was very important to me, that in itself would cause them to take action. But you know what, Kamar? I found out that, and thankfully my boss said, Nancy, I'm going to send you to a workshop. And back then, the name of the guy was, it was in Tampa someplace. I'll come up with it. Okay. But anyway, he sent me to this workshop and he said, Nancy, I want you to really pick up on process and script. I said, okay. So I come back with my new script and a process, the order things should happen. And the rest became history. I became the number one representative out of 121 reps that were in that system. Wow. It was a very large system of schools. And after that, they made me director of admissions. Then I went into financial aid to find out what that was all about. Quickly ran back to admissions. I was too much of a people person for that, you know, and I found out that you've got to have a caring personality, but you've got to have a script. You got to have a process. Process is so important. You can't wing it. You got to know. In fact, today, as we go to clients, we always say, let's take a look at the people, the product, and the process. Yep. Okay. Three things. So we look at the people. Okay, let's assume for a moment, because most people are caring. Most people want to be where they're at in admissions. So most people are liking their job. Most people seem like they're doing a fairly good job. Then we look at product. We think, okay, we've got a great program. You got, whether that's cosmetology or whether that's a degree in electronics or whatever it is. Okay, you've got a good product. So now what's the process? Well, when we start to look at the process, we realize they don't have everybody's doing their own thing. Everybody's handling an interview the way they feel they want to. And so that kind of gives you a little bit of my history, because now I'd say now it's been, let's see, how many, 30 years? Yeah, 30 years later, having my own company. Of course, the guy you just met, Daniel, he is now the COO of the company. Yeah. And we've got several people in the team, and we just love what we do, you know?
Nice. Yeah. So when you just took off and, you know, went from working for the schools to starting your own business, you know, what was the kind of trigger behind that? Why did you become so passionate about that part?
Well, you know what happened? The last position I held at a school was a regional person. Okay. And I had 51 schools that I was responsible for. So I did a lot of traveling and a lot of meeting a lot of people. And people would always say to me, Nancy, why don't you start your own business doing this? Because people were calling me all the time, would you come to my school? Would you come to my school? And so I thought to myself, I was making a very nice income at the time, you know, so I really didn't want to start my own business. But I thought, well, if I could make even more, maybe I will. And I remember specifically asking people, would you hire me if I were to leave the company? And they're like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. So my transition from employee to owning a company became so easy. I put out a newsletter, told people I was available, you know, and next thing you know, I immediately had business. I was so fortunate. I'm very fortunate, nice. You know, but they people knew me across the country. So right. Certainly it was a major help.
Right. So when you talk about the script and the need for it, and people, product, and process. Why do you think so many, I guess, organization and even just admissions representatives feel like they don't need a script?
You know what it is? They say the same thing every time. I don't want to sound robotic. And I say to them, we don't want you to sound robotic either. We want you to take a script and turn it into a conversation by adding your personality. But this is a business where it's an intangible product. So you've got to create need and build value. And at the end, value has to exceed cost. And if it doesn't, you're not going to have an enrollment, you know? And so you have to follow the order of the process as it builds momentum, as it builds the value necessary. In fact, Kumar, one of the questions that I always ask an admissions person, and to this day, one person has ever been able to give me the answer. Just one person. And the question is, what's the first step in building value? Wow. And nobody knows that answer. And the answer is getting the prospect to recognize they have a need to make a change. That's okay. It. Because I use myself as an example. I have the need to lose weight. That doesn't make me take action. I have to verbalize that need. I have to show my frustrations. You have to say to me, why is now the time to do it? And I have to say, because you know what? I can't take it anymore. It's just I put it off long enough. And as I'm answering that, I'm building my emotions. And it creates the need that I have to make a change. Then step two is, where will I go? How will I go about it? Will I go about it by going to Weight Watchers, or will I get a pill from the doctor? You know, that's step two. Right. For us, step two is, which school am I going to go to?
Sure.
You know, but first we have to get them to verbalize their need. And, you know, interesting enough, I'm sure you've heard the phrase speed to lead.
Yeah.
Speed is the number one reason for conversion, for higher conversion. We have to get on that lead immediately. And I mean within 1 minute.
Wow.
Within 1 minute of that lead coming in, the hottest you're going to be is at that moment. They're also checking into 3 or 4 other schools. So, and here's an interesting statistic.
Sure.
Do you know that 72% of the people go to the school that responds the first?
Wow.
Just be the first. Just be the first. Let alone if you handle it correctly.
Wow, right.
You know, and you know, the last thing I'll say on this script too is that when I go to a school, and sometimes I'll take a call or I'll do an interview just to show them in action, I still use a script, and I know it backwards, but I still use it because I want to be sure that I don't skip any important question, because every question that you can think of that's important is on this little script. How I deliver it's going to be me. But the questions are important.
Absolutely. So let me ask you this, because you said you've been doing this for, you know, over 3 decades, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're networking everything from boomers to Generation X to millennials to the Z-lennials or Generation Z. Have you noticed the difference? And if so, how do you, you know, coach or train to it with, you know, maybe the millennials and Generation Z, maybe reluctance of, you know, speed the lead and catching a person, you know, that fast, or, you know, prospecting and calling a person multiple times. Have you noticed the difference, or is it still kind of the same?
The basics are the same, but you're right. The prospects are different, and how we communicate them is different. The phone call is still always going to be the most valuable. There's no doubt. But how do we get them on the phone? We establish, when we work with clients, we establish a texting cadence. Okay. You know, like, this goes out as soon as they request something automatically. We don't want the representative having to deal with it. This should be all automated. You know, so they receive, you know, we received your request. Somebody from admissions will be contacting you. And then we set up the cadence. We know where, what's the point where people get irritated, because we've monitored this. We also know what is the best. What is the best time to reach them? How many times should you reach out to them? We have all these stats now. We do everything based on data, you know. So nothing is, my opinion wouldn't even match many of the things that we find out, because I'm not the average student, right? You know? And so we have to put ourselves out of it. You know, I remember a client just a couple of years ago saying to me, Nancy, what I do for marketing, I put everything out on my conference table. I walk around and I look at it and I pick out all the things I would never do. And then I use those and it works. Because he's not the student. Wow. You know,
I like that.
But the student of today wants immediate attention. They want customization. They're spoiled. They want, how fast can you give it to me? They don't want to read. They just want bulleted points. They want shorter conversations. You know, I mean, it's amazing. That's the difference here. You know, don't inform them, because that's not what they're looking for. They're looking for, you know, how do you make them feel? How quickly can you help them do things? You know, it's very interesting dealing with them. But the basics of the phone or the interview have not changed much.
Got it. Yeah, so you talked about the relationship between admissions and the financial aid team and, you know, the power of one. You know, why is that so important?
You know, we have to operate as a team. We were just with a client yesterday where they are so divided. Mm-hmm. They don't talk to each other except if it's in a meeting. And the student can feel that. And, you know, when we did a survey, we found out that one of the main problems that students have is affordability. And yet some schools choose not to have them see financial aid, or their financial office, if they don't have financial aid, they choose to have them not see them on the first visit to the school. And I'm saying, if that's the number one reason, why aren't we comforting them, saying, look, we've got a plan for you, whether it's this, we don't know yet, but we've got a plan. Let's sit down, have you complete the FAFSA, you know? And even though we don't assist them in doing that, we put them aside on a computer, say, I'm over here if you have a question or if you need some help. Right. But the point is, we have to help them get on that FAFSA in particular. Nobody likes to fill it out. And yesterday's client told me that they send everybody home with the FAFSA to complete it. And what happens is, we said, how many come back completed accurately? She said less than 10%.
Wow.
I said, so then you're doing double work, because now you've got maybe they're chosen for verification because of an error they made, or you have to make changes to it. Just have them do it right then and there. So we have to bond with each other. We're all responsible for the goals of the institution, you know, so we have to work together. It shouldn't be admissions has the goal. It's the school has a goal, and we're all a major part of that. I'm going to give you another example of a question that people ask me. Should they have an application fee or a registration fee or not?
Right.
And I call it to fee or not to fee.
Right.
Right.
That is the question.
Right.
I love it.
Yes. So, you know, many years ago, it used to be where everybody had some type of a fee. I'm talking probably 15, up until 10 or 15 years ago, they had a $50 or $100 or something like that. Then people decided, what's the most common bill that's in someone's wallet? Well, the ATM gives bills out in 20s. So then the industry kind of said, you know what? Let's do $20.
Right.
And let's see. Because what they were thinking is that any type of money up front makes a stronger commitment. You know what the shame of that is? All it does, sure, you're going to have a stronger commitment from fewer people.
Right.
You know? Right. So, you know, if I can get 10 people who all have a strong commitment, and because of that, 90% of them will start school because of that $50 commitment.
Right.
Okay, great. But then what if you didn't have a fee at all? And what if you got 20 people because there was no fee, but only 15 started? Right. So your show rate for class start went down, but overall you netted more students.
Absolutely.
And so, and also I have to say the biggest thing about a fee is it slows down and stops the process. Somebody can't, if they're ready to enroll today, but they don't have that fee, they can't do it.
Right.
And then what we have to do is then we start chasing them for $20 or $50. I can tell you, Kumar, that in the last 2 or 3 years, especially since COVID,
sure,
most schools have gone away with their fees completely. They don't have 20 or 50. Now we know what's really stopping them. Before, we didn't know if it was the $50 or $100 fee. But with no fee, it doesn't stop the process at all.
Right.
The student can keep on going once they come to your school. They can sit down, have their interview. They can see financial aid. They can complete enrollment paperwork. They can do whatever you want them to do because nothing stops or slows the process. And that's what we look for when we go into a school. We take a strong look and say, what are the kinks in your process? Where do they stop? One school we were at last week, nobody shows up for their second financial aid appointment.
Wow.
You know, well, why? Well, you send them home to do it on their own. They're not finished with it,
right,
or they didn't want to do it, and they're not showing. Sure. That's a pretty simple fix. But those are the things that we look for in the process.
Oh, absolutely. I love it. So I'd love for you, if you could, maybe share a story about, you know, a client that you really helped kind of turn around and get them to be able to motivate more students to kind of start. Mm-hmm. And maybe a story about maybe an individual admissions person, whether a rep or a DOA, that mm-hmm. you were able to work with. And, you know, you're like, when you first start working with them, you're like, man, this person, I don't know if they're the right person, but working with them, and now all of a sudden this person's a rock star. I'm sure you got millions of them, but I'd love for you to maybe share one from kind of each category if you could.
Yes, I will. Actually, I'm thinking of one that's in the state of Washington without making any putting any names to it, but not the school. When we first went in there, Daniel and I went to the school, and we quickly saw that everybody was operating in silos. That's the first thing. Nobody knew what the next department was doing or what they were responsible for. And in return, people would just do their portion. The student would leave, or the prospective student would leave. Then the next department had to call them to make an appointment to get them back in.
Oh, wow.
They never even saw the next department there. And so we put in that change. And actually, we just spoke with that client last week. And she said to us, the president said, we now have a waiting list until fall of 25.
Wow, that's amazing.
That's only working with them for a year. Wow. And they are able to have that kind of a waiting list because we broke down those silos. We took down those walls, you know. And on top of that, their director of admissions was just promoted to vice president of admissions, which is a big thing. He was so happy. At first, when we go in, the typical director of admissions is a little reluctant because we're going to uncover issues. We always do.
Right.
And so they're like, you know, you're messing with my department and you're going to find things at fault. And
sure.
So we have to spend time with them, relax them, saying, look, we're here to work with you. you know, and that's important part. The only reason we know more is because we're exposed to more, you know. If you're not exposed to it, you're not expected to know it, you know. So we spend a lot of time working with them and being sure that they're comfortable with us. And in return, every one of them benefits from it and they get so excited about it. So we have seen every school we've worked with, they just grow. It's the process is a big thing. The right people, yes, you got to have that. You got to have a good product. But most schools nowadays have a really good product, you know, and most have, their biggest problem is having enough people. Because nowadays finding staff is a little challenging, you know, but process is the most important part.
Absolutely. So I'm pretty sure I know your answer to this, but I've got to ask because of the new wave, right? Everything's AI, 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 AI. Yeah. Do you believe that at some point in the future, AI is going to replace admissions representatives and admissions teams at colleges?
No, I do not. Okay. You're going to put me out of a job. No, but honestly, I think it's going to be a support if used correctly. Sure. I think it can really help us in many areas in our data tracking and all kinds of things. But I don't think anything can ever replace the person, the personality, the emotions that we can generate within somebody. This is a people business. You know, I was doing a training session this morning, Kumar, and I asked this question to everybody because they're saying, well, you know what? I don't understand why people just don't realize, you know, going to school 4 or 5 hours a day or night is not that big a deal. So I turned it around to the reps and I said, let me ask you this. How many of you today, right here on the spot, you're working full time? How are you going to be able to go to school 4 or 5? How many of you could? Right. Not one of them could raise their hand. Yeah. I said, so that shows you that somebody who's working, and which is a lot of our students, they're going to need, you need to build so much value. And talk about the sacrifices that people make to go to school. Don't be afraid to talk about it. Bring it up and say, are you willing to make the sacrifices? You know, but yes, it's only for X period of time and the outcome is more than worth it. But, you know, help them go through what they're already thinking about, which is a concern of time, money, effort, sacrifice. You know, all those things are a concern to them. And if you work through it with them, you have a much better chance you'll get them to take action.
Yep. Last question. And I'm just curious, and you talked about how important the script is, and, you know, kind of breaking down silos. And, you know, whenever, you know, you can help an institution get it right, it allows them to be able to help more students to kind of realize the goals that they want to and maybe just needed a little bit more inspiration and ease of process in order to do it. So you're doing great work. What is it, you know, what else is it that you have seen that maybe the institutions or the departments kind of push back against that, you know, that if they can just buy into this part, they'll get it?
You know, what I find oftentimes is schools make up what they think to be the regulations. As an example, one of the schools last week said, well, we can't tell them we have a financial plan for everyone in admissions. I'm like, we didn't say financial aid for everyone. We said financial plan for everyone. Yeah. And why can't we say that? Because the student is concerned about affordability. They're like, oh, it's in the regulations. Yeah. Listen, I know most of the regulations backwards. And I can tell you that's not a regulation. And of course, we ended up contacting the appropriate people, found out the school just kind of thought that. Yeah. You know. And so what I find is that people create their own barriers. Like, you know, here's another one. Financial aid says we can't show a student a different program if they could, like I said, they have a degree and they have a certificate program in the same field.
Sure.
If they can't afford the degree, I suggested to financial aid, why don't you show them what it'd be like using the certificate program? Maybe it's more affordable for them. They're like, oh, we can't do that. I'm like, why? Oh, accreditation doesn't allow us to talk about the programs. What? Where did that come from? You know?
Right.
And so I find that people just seem to create those issues. either knowingly or thinking that somebody told him along the way that's the way it was, you know. So it's creating their own barriers is what's happening. They create their own.
Now that was awesome. I mean, because you're exactly right. They create a world of barriers that doesn't even exist. And
it doesn't exist.
Their ability, like you said, to help a person that, hey, maybe you couldn't afford this one, but at least get you started in this one and get you on that track. That's amazing. Well, listen,
exactly.
I can't think of a better place to end it than right here. This was awesome. Do you want to share any Facebook, email, LinkedIn for our audience, just in case they want to reach out to you?
Yes, I would love that. Our company is Source for Training. And you can go to info@sourceforttraining.com, send us a note, get in touch with us. If nothing else, we just want to help you. So just let us know. Quick questions, we're always available to answer them.
Awesome.
Thanks for tuning in to the Higher Ed Podcast. To learn more about the topics covered in this episode, please visit engine.systems. Be sure to join us again next week and every week thereafter for more cutting-edge insights and practical advice to help you stay ahead in the dynamic world of higher education.